a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. This is Joe Kufka with the Governor's Office. We are ready to begin. And here's Governor Mike Brownson.
Good morning. It is a beautiful morning here in Pierre. The temperature has gone up. I won't suggest to you that I know why. All I know is that we're enjoying some nice warm temperatures here in Pierre. I do have a couple of items that I'd like to begin with this morning. First of all, we received word on Tuesday that the National Science Foundation has released the funds that will be used for creating the preliminary design for the Deep Underground Science and Engineering Laboratory at Homestake. It's $29.1 million, and of that amount, $19.5 million is flowing through the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. But we've received the funds, and they're in the bank. So it's nice to see that the money that we had anticipated receiving last September have been received and on time, and we can move forward. So far, the NSF has allocated a total of $47 million for the design of the laboratory and about $21 million for experiment design. The U.S. Department of Energy has also provided about $10 million for experiments so far. In addition to that, as you recall, through the work of Senator Johnson, the Department of Housing and Urban Development had also provided a $10 million grant to reopen the mine and begin pumping out the water. The legislature came through with about $35 million, and T. Denny Sanford gave a very, very special gift in the amount of approximately $70 million for this project. So we are very, very excited that we are moving forward. The first NSF review of the DUSL was last January. Another NSF review will be done this month, and we believe the full National Science Foundation approval to build the laboratory will come by June 1st of 2011. So we're pleased that they are on time and on target with the release of their funds. The second item that I'd like to announce today is that I will be appointing former Senator Ken Albers to the Board of Pardons and Paroles effective January 18th. Ken will replace Tom Chihok of Yankton, who had indicated that he did not want to be reappointed as of the end of his term. I've known Ken Albers for a number of years. He's a former sheriff. He clearly understands law enforcement issues. He's worked with individuals that have been through rehabilitation, been back out on the streets again and so forth, and he understands the correctional process within our state, and I welcome him, and I appreciate his willingness to step into a very time-demanding commission. And then I don't think anybody in South Dakota has missed the significant tragedy which is unfolding in the island or on the island and in the country of Haiti. We think that we should do our part as well along with the rest of the world in terms of responding to this major, major catastrophe. And the American Red Cross has a fund. It's called the International Response Fund. It is the quickest avenue for individuals to get assistance into that country. They will be providing food, water, and things that the victims need right now. So I just wanted to bring emphasis to the fact that for individuals that want to know that their gift, their cash donations would go to a good thing, that it would be well used, the American Red Cross International Release or Response Fund is the appropriate one. They can take it into any local chapter of the American Red Cross here within South Dakota. This is not something that we're going to get something out of. This is true charity. This is taking care of people that truly have no place else to go to get help. And so for people that want to donate, our recommendation is go to the American Red Cross International Response Fund. You can donate at any local chapter of the American Red Cross across the state. You can make a donation to the Red Cross online at www.redcross.org. Or you can call 1-800-RED-CROSS. Red Cross. For those of you who text, and I understand that there's a lot of the younger folks that do a lot of texting, you can actually text Haiti, H-A-I-T-I, to a pound 90999. And that would then bring about a $10 donation, which will be sent to the American Red Cross and billed to your cell phone number or billed to your cell phone billing. We're going to be asking state employees to join in this fundraising effort over the next couple of weeks through our casual Friday funds and perhaps even some specific fundraising events, but a way for citizens of South Dakota who feel that hurt and who want to assist, a way for them to be actively engaged in the relief efforts. With that, we just finished up with the State of the State on Tuesday. This is the beginning of the legislative session. It's early in the process, and now the legislative body has the opportunity to look at some of the recommendations that we've made. I think everybody's aware that the budget really is the challenge that we face this year, and that's the way that it was designed. We wanted to let them know that we've appreciated all the hard work that they've done during the last 7 years, and that we really do accomplish a lot more if we're working in an effort of unity and in an effort of trying to bring people together. Clearly, we have been in the midst of a major national recession. South Dakota has felt the impact of that. At the same time, I think the legislature should feel good about the fact that we've gone through the first 2 years of this recession and we have not touched our reserve funds. And as a matter of fact, in the last 2 years, beginning in 08, fiscal year 08 to 09, 09 to 10, we have not, our growth in the general fund expenditures of state government gone up less than 1% per year in response to the slowdown in the economy. So I think we're trying to do our best to continue to provide services while at the same time to try to slow down the ongoing growth for the services that government is expected to deliver, whether it be in K-12 education, whether it be in universities, or whether it be Medicaid for people that have no place else to go. The legislative process is just beginning. We've been working on this since really last September. We've had a chance to begin with what we saw was a major deficit, not just structurally, but just in terms of the amount of money that could be spent if we did what we traditionally do, which is to increase salary policy for state employees, increase money for K-12, provide some additional property tax relief, provide for inflation for providers in the Medicaid services. And this year we made significant reductions simply by holding everything the way that it was from the original expected deficit. Now the legislature has the opportunity to view what we've done so far to reduce what would have been some significant structural deficits that we've talked about earlier this fall. It'll be their opportunity to see, you know, what they would recommend for changes on it. They have the opportunity to actually decide, as they do each year, what they want to spend. In a number of the past years, they've looked at what we proposed and said, no, we're going to spend more money. We respect that. We know that it's part of the process. This year, we're really going to recommend to them very strongly that they take a look at adhering to the budget that we proposed. And I think they understand that. One more thing before I just open this up for questions. This is the eighth state of the state that I've delivered. But I got to tell you, I got to thinking about the fact that I've had help on all of these in which people bring in huge amounts of data. And we put together literally pages and pages of information to decide what we should emphasize and what we should take out. And it's an ongoing process that we start working on in terms of getting a sample and working through a rough drafts, 9, 10, and 11 different rough drafts. Jim Sawyer has been actively involved in every one of those. And Jim's in the back of the room here, and I just want to acknowledge him because Jim not only has worked on all of my state of the states, he also did on Bill Janklow's and on a number of George Mickelson's, and actually for Tommy Thompson in Wisconsin as well. In fact, in 1 year, Jim actually worked on two State of the State addresses for two different governors. And I don't think there's anybody else out there that can make that sort of a claim on their resume. And you won't find it on one of Jim's resumes. I went back and looked, and yet we happen to know that it's true. And I just want to give some special credit to Jim, because he truly has been a huge asset to us in creating an ongoing process of trying to lay out for the people of South Dakota the accomplishments and at the same time the challenges that we face over the next couple of years. So, Jim, thanks for the work that you've done for us as well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin.
Now, with that, let me just open this up and your turn.
The Democrats in their press conference earlier today made a big issue out of, obviously, FTEs, which you talked about in your State of the State, but they made a particular issue out of what they said were FTEs that are budgeted but not billed. And so some of these are lying open for a number of years. They said there may be as many as 600 of these. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on that. They identified those as an opportunity for reductions in state payroll.
I'd like to have them put their fingers on 600 FTEs that are unfilled. It's early in the session, but it's also an election year. So early in the process, you will hear lots of discussion about what can be done. The fact of the matter is we started working on the budget in September. They haven't had that opportunity yet. In this process, and it's a good 38 days or 36 or 37 days more to go yet, they'll have an opportunity to look in, and they can try to tell us where all these FTEs are that aren't filled. One of the things that, as they get into the process, they'll probably learn is that FTEs are just an estimate of the amount of work that's being done for money being paid. Let me give you an example. In Game Fish and Parks, if you looked at Game Fish and Parks and you said how many FTE are filled right now, you might be surprised to find out that there's FTEs out there that might not be filled right now. But come this summer, you'll have people that are mowing lawns. You'll have people that are taking care of campgrounds. You'll have, you know, people that are working in and around our boat ramps and so forth. And at that point, you could look and say, well, gee, you've got more people working here than what you've got FTEs for. Well, it's true, because an FTE is working 40 hours a week, 50 weeks out of the year. So they average in and out based upon when the need is. So at any given time, could you have an FTE which is not filled today? Sure. But each department's different. And at the end of the year, it's really a matter of the money and where you're spending the money. Now, sometimes you could have a case where an FTE might not be there, but you might find if you can take an individual and you can say, I thought we were going to have two FTEs that had to do this administrative project, but you can do it with one, then you do your best to economize. It's kind of what we were trying to do here in the last couple of years, where we simply said, these FTEs, we're trying our best not to utilize them. And if we're not utilizing them, then we're reporting them. I think we did a little over 100 of them during this year that we just simply said, look, we're going to try to get by without them. We're open for discussions with people about how many they want to try to reduce. But remember this, it's also an example of service being provided. So if you want to cut an FTE with the overall goal of cutting money from the general fund, then you also have to be able to share what service or program you don't want to have done anymore. But you can't simply come in and say, I think we'll cut, but we'll let, you know, but we're not going to tell you what to cut, because we don't want to get in the middle of it. We don't want to do the detail work. That's kind of the reason why they're sent here, is to do the detail work and to sit down and to say, yeah, we want this program, or no, we don't want that program. And then we'll tell them how much money they can save. But, you know, if it was easy and if they really wanted to make those cuts, last year we had about $37 million. Well, we actually proposed about $47 million in cuts. As soon as the federal money became available, it was a lot easier to simply say, look, let's get by another year. Let's not make all of the cuts. So this year, once again, look, it's early in the session. I think a lot of the legislators are being asked, so how much more are you going to cut? And how much more are you going to do? And there's a pressure on them to make a difference and to be actively engaged in the process. So let's wait until we're closer to the end when they've really had a chance to look at the work that we've already done on making reductions. And then let's see just where the cuts are and what's really available.
Governor, the Democrats suggest that that FTEs have grown too much during the time you've governor, and they would like to, over the next few years, reduce the FTE level back to where it was when you took over as governor. Do you see that as possible?
Well,
or realistic?
Let me just share with you where the FTEs have increased, because I think it's important for people to understand that government provides services. If they accept my budget, if they don't increase the budget that I've asked for this year, we will have increased a total number of FTEs from 2000 until fiscal year 11 by 1,258. Let me just work our way through where those 1,258 FTEs are at. 328 of them, or 26%, are under what we call the control of the governor. Now, 178 of the FTEs were in informational budgets that are independently set by boards or commissions. Let me give you some examples. 66 were already existing, but they weren't counted before. And we just said, in transparency, let's count them. So they're including that as part of the count. 70 were for the creation of the Science and Technology Authority. Are we better off not having the Science and Technology Authority? 29 were approved by the brand board as part of the decision to take over the brand board inspection process. They used to be independent contractors, and we brought them in and said, look, it's more efficient to operate them by the brand board rather than hire a contractor who was suggesting that we had to increase the fees on farmers and ranchers over and above a dollar a head. And we said, we can do it better. So they already existed, but they weren't state employees. They were independent contractors that were doing the work for us. 2.5 are for the Ellsworth Authority. 198 were for what I consider to be essential functions. Let me give you some examples. 109 attributable to increasing inmate populations. These are guards that are working in multiple shifts on the rows where inmates are at. And if we're going to put people in jail, we're going to have appropriate number of guards to guard them. And remember, when you have a jail, you've got to have them under supervision 24 hours a day. So if you add one person at Springfield, it really means adding three just for the 24-hour a day for 5 days a week. But you actually need to add more to add one more person on all the time. 27 were to support the expanding agency information system, like the new program that the feds are paying 90% of in social services. 25 were for additional child protection services. Remember, none of these were just added. We asked permission from the legislature in every case, and in every single case, they said this was a good idea. 11 were for correctional health, where we added nurses to the staff to take care of the correctional staff for the correctional health, because the Supreme Court says you have to provide health care if you have people that you're holding as prisoners. 3 were added in the meat inspection program with the Animal Industry Board. Now, there were 929 others that I'm going to say were not under the direct supervision of the governor. 836, or 66% of this total state government increase, has been with the Board of Regents. Over 698 FTE funded with federal and other sources were for growth in student services, self-support instruction, grants, and contract growth. It's because we have record enrollment in our universities. If we're going to get their tuition, and if we're going to ask them to come in and stay in South Dakota, then we have to hire the teachers to teach them at our universities, and that's where this is at. 65 were for the new PhD programs. 27 were for the nursing program expansion. 26 were for graduate research assistants. 10 was for the Southeast Technical Institute's General Education Agreement, and 10 were for the 2010 research centers that I mentioned in the state of the state. 59 were added to the unified judicial system as judges, court reporters, court clerks, and court service officers. 24 were added to the Attorney General's office as laboratory technicians, DCI agents, and law enforcement officer training instructors. 8 were added in the South Dakota Investment Council, and a little over 2 were increases in other constitutional offices across the legislature. Now, what I've given you, not rhetoric, these are facts. This is straightforward information coming right out of the budget books. But let me break it down one more way, because I really think what people have got to remember is that South Dakota still has the lowest taxes per capita of any state in the nation. Sometimes we forget about that, and sometimes legislators forget to feel good about what they've been able to do. They've been responsible with the way that they've spent money. And we get into the issue of talking about FTEs as if the FTEs were raising their taxes. Let me give you one more thought. Of the FTE changes from 2003 through 2011, 687 were fully funded with federal funds or other funds and would not have any impact on the state's general fund budget. So they could cut out the firefighters in the Black Hills if they really wanted to. But you know what? They're not going to save a penny of state tax dollars. Now, there's 183 FTEs out there that are funded by license fees and so forth. Not going to impact the general fund of the state of South Dakota one bit. 73 are paid for with general funds or other funds, or a combination of both. 55, general funds and federal funds. People that are working in Medicaid, as an example, they get some of their money from federal funds, some of it from general funds, dollar of general, $2 of federal. 54 were general, federal, and other funds combinations, some of it like in game, fish, and parks and so forth. And 22 were strictly federally funded. Total of 1,258 FTE. So let me just give you a percentage on it to make it easier for you. 14.5% of all of the increased FTEs are funded exclusively with general funds. 182, or 14.5%, are funded with some general funds matched with federal and or other funds. 893, or 71%, of all of these FTEs are funded with non-general funds, federal or other. So if they want to cut out 893 FTE, it won't help the general fund balance one bit. But it will significantly reduce the number of teachers in universities, the number of firefighters in the Black Hills, and so forth. So it's nice to talk about it, but you have to put it in perspective, and you have to look at the facts.
That 1,258, that's from when to when?
From when I began with the in July of 2003 up through and including the proposed budget that I have for this year.
Governor Dave Law saw on the wire this morning that the state of Minnesota is considering withholding $1 billion in state aid to schools as a way to shore up their budget. Is that something other states like maybe South Dakota might have to look at?
I think most people in South Dakota expect their elected officials to try to live within our means and to try to do it reasonably and inflict the least amount of pain possible. That's what we're trying to do by simply holding the increases down to zero. Granted that about 49% of all of the general fund dollars in South Dakota right now are sent back out to education, either universities, technical schools, or K-12. We're doing our best not to reduce the amount of funding that they get, because then what you end up doing is a simply significantly increasing the challenge for them at the local level. So we're trying to slow it down, and we hope that they follow the same lead that we're offering here. I know there's been discussion in the past about trying to hold down state government expenditures to 3% or less, you know, trying to tell future legislators to do that. Bottom line is that if you take a look at what's happened since this recession has started, our general fund expenditures have been less than 1% per year. And this is the first year that we're asking K-12 just to receive the same amount as last year, not less. So state employees, last year, we didn't give them a raise. Providers of Medicaid services to people that live in nursing homes, we didn't give them a raise last year or this year. They understand that we're going through some tough times. In other states, because they went on some major spending sprees in the past, and when the federal money came in, rather than setting it aside for a rainy day like we did, they spent it and they built their bases, and now they're having to make dramatic reductions in the amount of money that's out there. The legislature in South Dakota really didn't do that. They really, you know, I mean, granted, they made increases in the budget proposals that I've recommended, but they didn't make dramatic increases in the budget proposals. And in many cases, they did what we consider to be reasonable budget increases, and ones that, if the economy stayed good, we could live with. Remember, we have not touched our budget reserves yet.
Governor, this is Mike Tanner at KWAT in Watertown.
Yes, sir.
Good morning. I spoke with Representative Kristi Noem yesterday, and she told me that her caucus supports trying to get the upcoming fiscal year budget balanced without using any of the budget reserves, and she cited the uncertainty over how quickly the economy might recover and looking ahead to an even larger projected budget deficit in 2012. Is it realistic to think that the upcoming budget can get balanced without using any of that reserve fund?
We'll do our best to work with them. If I could have balanced the budget and maintained services as best we could, rest assured I would have done that. But I weighed the need to continue to provide Medicaid, as an example, to literally what right now is 110,000 people in South Dakota. It's up over 7% in just the last year and a half. Those are really the things that are driving the challenge we've got right now in the structural deficit. What happened was that revenues dropped off. We actually are having about very, very close to about the same revenues for 2011 as what we had back in 2008. And yet at the same time, our demands for services have increased. Medicaid, well over 8,000 more individuals asking for Medicaid services right now. Real close to about $50 million in new spending on Medicaid. So it's really a matter of where can you make those additional cuts. I mean, remember, 49% of the general fund budget, and that's what we're talking about, the general fund budget for the state, sales tax, video lottery money, and so forth, 49% of all those dollars coming in go right back out again to education, technical schools, K-12 education, universities. If you take a look at what's happened with Medicaid has become a larger part of the budget. Right now, I think they're up to somewhere in the neighborhood of about 36% of the budget. When you add the two together, 85% of the entire budget is either in education or in basically Medicaid services. Only leaves you 15% of the rest of the money over everything else in state government. let me just break down the remaining 15%. 11% of that goes into the Highway Patrol, the courts, the Attorney General's office, and the prison system, all of our correctional activity. So I'm not seeing fewer people in prison. I'm seeing more people in prison, and I'm still seeing more people on parole. We actually made some significant cuts in the Highway Patrol, and you all remember the firestorm that caused. So there remains 4% left for everything else, and that 4% funds 8 departments of government, 4 bureaus, the legislature, all the constitutional offices, and the governor's office, and economic development efforts. So, you know, I admire the fact that we've got a legislative body that isn't just going to come in and say, well, I guess we can go home. They're coming in saying, look, we're going to take a look at what you've got. This is the beginning of the process. They'll look at the work we've already done, and then they'll decide what they can stand or what they can handle in terms of additional cuts. Because remember, anytime you make a cut, you're going to have to identify the service that goes away as well. And that's the part that's difficult, because none of this has been put in without legislative approval in the past. As I recall, last year, on the last day, there were a number of legislative leaders who stood up. We weren't spending enough. Now I suspect that they're in saying, gee, we've overspent. I'd be interesting to see who they were. Anything else?
Just a clarification, that 35% you mentioned, that would be not only Medicaid, but some other social services.
Yeah, most all of it is Medicaid enhanced. In fact, it's actually 36% of the budget. It includes what we call the area of taking care of people. It includes Medicaid, the state hospital, which in many cases has a Medicaid portion to the funding. The temporary assistance to needy family, which also matches federal funds, and then the Department of Social Services, the Child Services, Child Protective Services, and so forth, and the Department of Health. And in many cases, I'm not exactly sure if we've got some general funds in some of our vaccination, but most of that is federal and other funds as well. Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
That concludes today's news conference. Thank you for joining us.